This is attorney Robert Liftack. Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from KRUU 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source, grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. A brief background on me. I have been a lawyer since 1979. I am licensed to practice in Iowa, Pennsylvania, and New York, and have practiced in many areas of the law over the years. I practice now only in Iowa, and my work focuses solely on debt-related issues, primarily in bankruptcy. I'm also a longtime educator, having spent 17 years teaching students of all ages. My goal on this program, Life in Debt, is to share what I have learned in my professions in order to help people understand some of the basic general dynamics and the legal implications of debt, from its avoidance and creation to its elimination. An important note, please remember that these representations, or should I say these presentations, are provided as a public service for general information purposes only, and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of the show, as I said, is Life in Debt, and it will be a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt which influence your life. The first series of shows will be an overview of the big picture of debt in its four basic stages. First, there's the pre-debt stage before we take it on. And then, of course, two, there's the comfortable stage of having debt. The third stage is the slippery slope stage, is what I call it. And finally, the fourth stage is the apparent abyss one can fall into financially when one incurs too much debt. This show is going to be a practical general knowledge show about what to look for with debt issues, what are the traps, and what to do to be an educated debtor. For most of us, debt has become an important factor in our lives. There are many areas of debt that affect almost all of us every day. Some of that debt we had control over, such as with getting a home loan, credit card debt, automobiles and other consumer purchases and money loans. Some, of course, we have no control over, such as debt due to the loss of a job, an accident, or a sickness. There's the loss of a loved one or perhaps a divorce. Also, with the current state of the economy and how debt has been treated in the markets, we all are virtually at risk for the downside and backlash of debt in our lives. And unfortunately, the future does not bode well in some of these areas. But what we want to do is take control of it as much as we can in our own life. And that's the important critical issue here, to get some control. Today, in this first topic about the pre-debt stage, we're going to look a little bit at contracts and the concept of what I call caveat emptor, which is a Latin term that means borrower beware, in the way we're going to use it here. It literally means buyer beware, but we're talking about borrowing, so we have to get an understanding of borrower beware. So if you learn nothing else today, just remember caveat emptor, borrower beware. In the modern market, money has become the new product, the biggest money maker of them all. And this, as I alluded to before, affects people from every walk of life and socioeconomic background, the rich, the poor, all of those in the middle. But in terms of buying and gathering debt, the sellers of debt actually now are looking more at the middle and lower classes. A large proportion of the money to be made is in these groups, believe it or not. So we're going to look a little bit at the mechanics of how all this happens, both theoretically and practically. So in a situation we can control, we say, oh, we need some money. We go to our savings account in the bank and maybe we want to keep a little cushion there. And so we say, well, we can take on some loan to get what we would like. This does not seem to be an unreasonable thing to do, particularly in our current marketing of money in America. But first thing to consider is that a loan really means we're putting ourselves into debt. That can be a very wise and useful thing for us in our personal life. But just remember that debt is being created now in our country like no other time in modern history. And the reason for this is that credit is not only readily available, but it's readily available at a very hefty price. All of us know that every day we see floods of loan offers, which are actually offers for debt. They come in all shapes, forms, sizes, and varieties, and these solicitations can be extraordinarily alluring and almost too good to believe. So a rule of thumb is, if it's too good to believe, you really shouldn't believe it. It seems very easy to get these loans. However, it's almost always quite difficult to be able to pay them in the long run. This is the concept of caveat emptor, borrower beware, because of the complexities of modern contracts. So we'll talk a little bit about this as we go on. But talking about the solicitations, they're really coming from all sources. We see them in newspaper ads, through the mail, snail mail, from telemarketing and direct marketing, which is now often automated. We look at payday loan storefronts beckoning us in. We have TV and radio ads. And now we even have casinos have lending solicitations for credit cards so people could get money to gamble with. There are, of course, the internet pop-ups, the banners that are there, and the spam that comes in our email. If you have email, you could just look in your junk mailbox each day and you'll probably see many, if not scores, of solicitations for giving you a loan for credit. So it says, even more, after further review, our lenders have set the lowest monthly payments. Again, that's a critical element there, the lowest monthly payments. And then it continues with the promotion. Hurry, when our best deal is gone, it is gone. Simply fill out this simple form. And then finally, do not worry about approval. Your credit history will not disqualify you. Again, underscore that. Your credit history will not disqualify you. Your past track record in this promotion does not even matter to them. They're going to get you money somehow, some way. And in this particular promotion, you have to be a property owner. So that's one issue. But also, the amount of the loan that they're offering here is almost $500,000. So obviously, some eyebrows should be raised here about what's going on. So that's one example of a solicitation. Another one is for businesses, small businesses, these self-employment enterprises. Immediate cash to spend any way you like. Extra money to give the business a boost. A low interest loan, no strings attached. So when we think about these two promotions, these are very new in the current economy, the current marketing strategies, but compared to what loans and credit was 20, 30 years ago, this is quite the opposite. So we'll take a look at what's going on here in a minute. If you are just tuning in, this is attorney Robert Liptak, and welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I am speaking from KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. We have been speaking about the initial stages of creating debt and the lure or the solicitation into getting debt for the first time. We think of it often in terms of a loan, but in truth, it is debt. And we were just reviewing a few of the promotions that we found on the internet. But let's just think about the massive amount of loan offerings that are given each year. Some facts are that in the credit card area, offerings alone each quarter of the fiscal year for the credit card companies is in the high 100 billions of dollars a year. So I've seen figures as much as $400 to $500 billion are offered to consumers each quarter of the year. When we look at the numbers just in the credit card area, the credit card debt owed by Americans is well over $1 trillion. The marketing is there nowadays for easy money, fast cash, and really easy terms. In the credit card area, we see convenience checks. There's always these consolidation loans that are being offered. And of course, what we see is these low introductory rates, even 0% rates sometimes. But these are teaser rates that are variable and will reset. And a curious reality is that most of these resets tend to be only upward, even though contractually it may be that the loan or the debt is supposed to move up and down in interest rate based on prime, that is the amount of rate that the lender is borrowing for, which we call prime rate. But in most instances, what we're going to see is that in spite of that contract language, the interest rate doesn't come down regardless of the government, the Fed, changing the prime rate. It only goes up for the consumer, or it stays the same. So the reality is that loans are really, truly being pushed when we look at all of these solicitations and their various shapes and forms, which ultimately means that debt is being pushed onto us. So the question comes, why is this happening? And why is it such a big change from the way it used to be as to the standards a consumer is held to when a lender is giving away money? Well, obviously, we live in a capitalistic society, and it is really the flow of money which stimulates the economy. But as I mentioned earlier, targeting lower class and middle class people with a marginal ability to repay has become the new standard. And the reason for that is because debt now has become an asset. There is a concept which is called securitization, and that has become the standard of debt lending. To make this simple, basically the creditor, the originator of a loan, they're not really giving away their own money anymore. In fact, they're making their profits on other people's money. How does this happen? Well, for now, we'll just make it simple. The lenders or the originators borrow money from investment banks, and we'll have a show on this topic alone in the future. So they take that money, which they get at a very low interest rate, and then you borrow from the originator, the lender, or the credit card company, which in turn sells that loan once you take it. This happens almost immediately once you sign the papers, and in some cases it's happened even before you buy the loan. Those loans are bundled into packages to sell as securities to investors, and those investors are way down line with a bunch of intermediate companies that package these things and make them into very exotic kinds of bonds and securities for these investors to buy. So simply put, you are borrowing money from someone who is giving you someone else's money, and as a result, the lender is making its money on closing the loan, not so much on you repaying the loan and the interest that comes from that repayment. And this is happening in all areas of lending now, We're seeing the mortgage industry, or the subprime loans, we call them. These are heavily based on this principle of resale. It occurs with credit card debt now and automobile debt and almost every form of massive lending results in those loans being sold into a security pool. Of course, when the originator sells the loan, they're getting more money. So now they can give out more money to the next person that comes along. So the originator or the original lender gets out of the loop right at the beginning and just cashes in on its fees and profit, then is free to borrow more money to give out again and again in a continuing outpouring cycle of lending. They make their money on closing the deal, and so the allure is very, very strong to give money to whoever will sign the papers. So all the solicitations we were talking about earlier are there to really whet our imagination to help us to fulfill our desires for all of the things we might want, cars or vacations, those home appliances and furniture, the computer technology, or some pocket cash from the payday loan companies. If we're a small business, to build that business into a really profitable enterprise. For students who want to get that education, they need the money to do so. Let me just take an aside with the student situation, that when your student goes off, if you are a student, you go off to college, particularly for freshmen, that first couple of days of college, you will get multiple credit card offers from the college campus promoters that are usually students hired by credit card companies, for example, to really push these loans. When you think about that, these credit cards are being given to people with no credit history and who don't even have a job. And what happens is multiple credit cards are taken and cash advances are used from one to the other to pay their monthly minimum payments on the credit cards, and this will go on for 4 years. That is not an unusual situation now. So just as a rule of caution, if you're a parent with a new student going to college, or you are that student, be very careful about taking out credit when you do not have income. Also, these lenders are of various sorts, the rent to own, use it now, own it later variety. That's a form of lending. And what we see nowadays in the media is the whole home ownership and equity situation with mortgages for construction, refinancing, purchasing, the home equity loans. All of these are very prominent in our awareness now because of what has happened as the backlash from all this lending. So in a nutshell, it's really dizzying the way that all of these loans are marketed, and then what happens is that they're packaged and sold by experts using really sophisticated campaigns to get you to sign up. Now, there's a basic psychology used by the lender to sell their product. And that essentially is, you can pay X amount of dollars each month, right? Sounds reasonable. If I can make a $100 payment, a $200 payment, a $300 payment. Yeah, I can do that. I can look at my gross monthly income and my expenses that are ordinary and necessary expenses. And this I could add into it and it won't be a problem. That's actually overly simplistic logic that we use to deal with our financial circumstances, and it will ultimately lead to a crisis. For example, just in the credit card situation with a low interest rate credit card, the debt to be repaid would take, using minimum payments, 5 to 8 years. Again, saying that it's a very low interest rate. And of course, that is presuming that you're not using that credit card anymore. Now, if you go into a default interest rate, a high interest rate in the high 20s or 30s, I've seen interest rates up to 83% for credit cards. With minimum payments on those loans, it would take a person their whole life, no matter how long they lived, to pay that loan off. If you're just tuning in, this is attorney Robert Liptak, and welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I am speaking from KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and we have been speaking about debt in the sense of caveat emptor, borrower beware. And we're looking at what we should think about before we get into debt because of what happens when we are in debt. Right now, I was talking about the psychology used by lenders to sell the loans to get you to sign. And basically, you could afford this loan every month with this amount of minimum payment. Then also, there's a lot of psychology regarding our worth as a human being. You are a very worthy person. You deserve this. You deserve the good life. You deserve the house. You deserve the success. You deserve the satisfaction. All of these things are quite prominent in the way the loans are marketed. In fact, it amazes me because the very offer of the loan often has within it the implication that you deserve that loan. And this is interesting because they don't even know who you are generally, and yet that emotional psychological overlay is there. You deserve it. Go for that dream, that American dream. And the net result is that you believe that you can afford it. You can have that American dream, and it's based on minimum payments a month, and frankly, bad credit is no problem. Of course, the irony is that you'll have to pay more interest or points if you have bad credit, which is placing the people who can afford the least in the most risky financial situation. So this is why we say caveat emptor, or borrower beware. So just briefly as an overview, when we think of loans, we're thinking of contracts, and there are written contracts and unwritten contracts. And most of the kinds of contracts that are heavily affecting people nowadays is the written contract. And there is law that governs when, why, and how a contract has to be written. And that really is going to be a major part of the loans that we're talking about, or the debt that we're incurring nowadays, when of course it is a debt that is based on our control. And even when you have uncontrollable debt in an emergency room, or when you go to a doctor or some situation like that, there are often, if not always, written documents that need to be signed very much without our understanding them. That we do sign in those circumstances. So that's one issue, the written versus the unwritten contract. And then with the written contracts, particularly, but also somewhat with the unwritten contracts, we have unsecured debt and secured debt. The unsecured debt means that you're taking a loan and the lender is not requiring you to have any collateral to use to back up that loan in case you were to default on it. A secured loan, your typical example is you get a car and you get a car loan. They could, of course, take that car loan as the basis for an ownership interest on the title to the car. So if you were not able to repay that loan, they could repossess the vehicle and sell the vehicle as collateral to pay back the loan. The unfortunate part of that is, of course, that as soon as you drive that car out of the lot, it depreciates greatly in value, and many car loans are what we call underwater, that the value of the car is worth much less than the actual loan on the car after a very short period of time. But that would be a secured loan. Same thing with the mortgage on the house. So unsecured, no collateral, secured, collateral, or a collateralized loan. One of the challenging areas is that sometimes we're making applications for a loan or for a credit line or a credit card, and there's small print on that application. And an example that comes to my mind is Best Buy. You sign an application when you get a credit line, and in that application there is a one-line security provision that says that what you buy from Best Buy is going to be collateral for repayment of that credit line. So in theory, they could come back, if they keep good records, and they do, of what you've purchased, and they could retake some of those, if not all of those items, when you default on payment of that credit line. And this is why we're saying caveat emptor, or borrower beware. Contract terms are very, very hard to understand now, and yet understanding them is a really critical point in taking out a loan. Contracts have terms in them now for arbitration, for universal default, for being able to change terms unilaterally. One side can change, and it's always the lender side, can change the terms, or they could change the default interest rate based on, for example, an insufficient credit cushion. We'll talk about all of these things in the future in much greater detail. But for now, we just have to recognize that we need to understand the contracts we're getting into. You have to try to know what you are signing or agreeing to if it's an oral contract, but particularly the terms of what you are signing. You have to not only understand it, in many instances, you should be properly represented in homeowners transactions, for example. You need to have some really highly creditable, competent, understanding point of view before you sign anything, and that could mean outside advice. One of my favorites is to try to get that contract from the car dealer and take it home and read it in the quiet and privacy of your home, understand it with your family, and that would be something that would be greatly to your benefit. Now, you're always going to get resistance to these things from the lender. You got to do it now, you got to sign now, immediately, etc. But we're going to go more into these things over time. So really, the bottom line is, if you sign something, you are presumed to understand it. They're complex agreements. The terms can often be illusory, and they can change. They can be one-sided, no room to dicker. There's unequal bargaining power, and they could often be not at arm's length. So at the beginning, we're just going to emphasize caveat emptor, borrower beware. So in conclusion, you may need to borrow money, but don't agree to or sign anything until you fully understand the terms, the meaning of the words before the bottom line, and the real risks and consequences of signing. This is attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me with your questions and comments at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. Lifeanddebt@gmail.com. Thank you.